God did it. And you know, I believe what God does, I believe he wants credit for it. Why do you want to give credit to the devil or to chance or to luck or something when God did it? If God did it, give him credit for it. A lot of people, oh, God don't do things like that. Well, they ought to read the Bible. How do you know what God does unless you read the Bible? How do you know who did it? How would we know who sent that whirlwind and destroyed Job's family if it's not wasn't put in the Bible? The Bible said that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and brought those things upon Job, but God gave him permission to do it. All right, I want to begin in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, the presence of the Lord that he was acquainted with. But there's a lot of presences of the Lord that don't always ring a bell to a sensitive Christian. God's in a lot of places where you don't sometimes realize he's there. You're not sensitive of his presence. When Jacob wrestled that angel all night, he said, the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. How about that? Abraham was afraid of Abimelech when he told his wife was his sister. Thought, sure, when Abimelech finally God appeared to him and told him to give the man his wife back, and he said, hey, out of the integrity of my heart I did this. And he went to Abraham and said, why did you do this to me? He said, well, I didn't think the Lord or the fear of the Lord was anywhere around this place. But that man feared God. Sometimes you don't know those things. Well, Jonah didn't know it, but the Lord had already gone out before him ahead of that ship. And verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God sent out a great wind into the sea. I remember another account very similar to this in Acts 27, where God sent out a great wind called Heraclidon and sank the ship that Paul was on. Now, isn't that something? Now, who did that? God did it. Who sent this wind out, this great storm that almost caused this ship to go down? God did it. All right, God prepared. If God doesn't prepare something, it's not worth having. God has to prepare anything we get. He has to prepare you, your heart. He has to prepare you through his word many times or through an incident in your life. God was preparing Jonah to go over there and preach to Nineveh a message against a great city, the capital of this barbarous Assyrian empire. Nineveh, that great city. It took a long time just to go across that city. It took quite a while to walk across that city. Jonah went into it one day's journey and began to preach, and he wasn't even halfway across. So we find out here he went to a great city, that great city. All right, now, God prepared some other things. As you're going a little bit further, in the same chapter, the last verse, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In Matthew 12 and 40, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. God prepared a whale. And it's not a whale of a tale, it's real. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, and he said it exactly like the scripture said, so the Son of Man should be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, Jesus confirmed the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Here it said a great fish, but God prepared the fish. Whenever the men decided through the casting of lots and Jonah's own admission that he was responsible for this wind arising, that was a gigantic storm. They asked him what they could do to him to stop the raging of the storm. They said, well, if you take me and throw me over the side of the ship, the sea will be calm for you, because I know for my sake that this great tempest has been laid upon you. Praise God. It was for his sake. It was because of him. In other words, I'm responsible for the storm. Now I'll be responsible for saving your lives. Now that man was a great man to admit that and save the lives of these men at the expense of his own life that he thought was going to be given for this gigantic compassion that he was showing. He admitted it was for his sake. Because they asked him, said, who are you? He said, I'm an Israelite. He said, I'm a servant of God that made this sea. Boy, when they heard that, the men feared exceedingly. So finally, he convinced them. Verse 15, but in verse 14, they said, Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and don't lay this innocent blood on us. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You'd made this storm, and this man is your servant. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made him some vows. Praise God. Hey, Lord, we ain't going to cuss no more. We ain't going to drink when we get to port. We're going to leave them wild women alone. We're going to behave ourselves and go back home to mama like we ought to, and so forth. Lord, have mercy. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish, and he was in it 3 days and three nights. And there's where Jonah was humbled, to where the fear of God possessed him, and the fear of men was completely wiped away. All right, going on. God spared the city because the city repented. Verse 10 of chapter 3 said, God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way. And the Lord, or God, repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. In chapter 4, verse 1 says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord. And he says, while I was yet home in my country, so didn't I tell you before I fled to Tarshish that I knew you, that you're a gracious God, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, you're of great kindness, and you'll haul off and repent of this evil that you've promised to do to these people. Now therefore take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. And God asked him, do you do well to be angry? And he went out of the city. And he set on the east side in a booth under the shadow to see what would become of the city. He still wanted it destroyed. Verse 6 says, the Lord God prepared a gourd to come up over Jonah to be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And he was glad of the gourd. Verse 7, God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. God prepared the gourd. God prepared the worm. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. Woo! And the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, I do well to be angry, even to death. I feel myself justified. I'm mad. You ever got mad and you felt justified? Just as if I'd hadn't displeased the Lord. God prepared. What God does not prepare doesn't amount to very much. Why, when these minor prophets, is something here that appeals to me. It's in Amos, the third chapter, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Is there something gone wrong in a city, and God didn't make it happen? Well, the answer is no. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who is responsible for all these things that goes on in the earth? The Lord. Proverbs 16:4, God hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil or adversity. He's made somebody to cause these things to happen.